Blog Talk Radio.
We just get started. Tuned in to the Iceman Show. More bounce to the ounce than I say what counts. Don't nobody go home till the fat man gets it in. What's up, the chocolate people? I'm having it with you. We're going to go ahead and start up YouTube and Facebook. You know, we're doing a triple cast. Can you dig it? So we got all that queued up. So we're going to get that popping. I see we got a couple of people in the queue. Hold on for a second. We're gonna get it popping in about 2 or 3 minutes. I got to go upstairs and get something real quick. But go ahead and enjoy the theme song to the Iceman Show podcast. You dig it? Hold on for a second. We're going to get to you, okay? Keep it locked right here. Iceman Show podcast.
Thank you.
tune in to the Iceman Show podcast. I am your host, the Iceman. More bounce to the ounce than I say what count. Don't nobody go home to the fat man gets it in. What's happening, talk with people? Everybody in between. Can you dig it? We ain't hating, but you better get to congratulate. Can you dig it? If you ain't got it, make sure you get it. My first book, The Game of Life According to the Iceman, Volume 1. You can get it at asktheiceman.com. Scroll down to the Add to Cart button to purchase. Get one, get two, get three. And you can also get it on Amazon.com. Can you dig? And while you're there at AskTheIceman.com, scroll down to the donate button to donate to that. Remember, all donations are 100% tax deductible on your 2021 taxes and 2022. And if you make at least $50,000 or above, you need to have charitable deductions on your 1040A or 1040A. Okay, because 1040EZ is no deductions. Okay, if you make $50,000, especially if you got children. Now you can get that earned income credit. A lot of y'all ain't got no children. Otherwise, you can get that earned. You can also add that earned income credit. I think you can write off child care, because I know we used to write off child care. We used to write off all that. Wasn't much coming back, but you know, I mean, every little bit helps. You dig? You can also donate via the Cash App, the free Cash App. Cash App ID is $TheIceman1906. $TheIceman1906. Can you dig it? We're going to go to the phones real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, stick to the topic and keep on giving me a tributary. Okay, I don't want to hear your life manifesto. Let's get to the point. All right? Let's go to the phones. With the Iceman, who am I speaking with? Hello? You're on the air.
Hey, Iceman. This is Tyler, man, calling from Detroit. I'm just listening, bro. I didn't raise my hand.
Oh, you just listen? Oh, no problem, brother.
I'm just
all
listening,
right, no
bro.
Problem. Oh, I appreciate it, brother. So, what we got popping here? Well, there's a whole lot of stuff happening, and I'm going to tell y'all right now. Hey, hold up, man. I forgot to bring the text down here. Come on. Hey, I'll be right back, y'all. Hold on. We need to cover this stuff tonight. Yeah. Yes, sir. We're going to cover some of this stuff tonight. Yeah. So hopefully we won't have no problems with the internet, because I tried to sign on with YouTube at 6:15, and it just kept spinning. They're gonna start messing with. You'll start messing with the channel. Okay, cool. All right, we're gonna have to find a way to get past that. Because we are resilient. We are resilient people. We are an extraordinary people, and we deserve respect. We're gonna go to the text real quick, and then we're gonna open up phone line, because you know what I told y'all, we playtime been over. We don't have playtime. We know that a lot of y'all, unfortunately, you want to sit up there and play because, you know, you're just a sorry Negro. You dig it? Let me read some of this stuff. Some of this, boy, I'll tell you, the late, great Dr. Francis Crest Wilson. Woo! Man, ain't nothing but fire coming from this book. Man, this book is fire. Check this out. Okay, I might have to go back. Oh, she started talking about Freud. And that right there, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to read that. This messed me up. I know this has nothing to do with the topic, but I gotta read this while it's still fresh on my mind. Keep this here. The death of adult black males in the home . We have to start over here. Let me start over here. As black males and females become more and more alienated, meaning we get locked out of the economic, political and social structures of American society. That's what she means by alienating. As our current rates of separation and divorce indicate, black females are being left to rear black male children alone. The alienation, hate, and disgust felt towards adult males are visited upon their sons subtly. A female alienated from males is hard-pressed to reinforce patterns of conduct in a male child that remind her of unhappiness and pain. She is much more inclined to say, there you go, looking and acting like your no-good nigga father of yours. The black female teacher at school, who also may be experiencing alienation from her black man. Remember, we got a lot of black women out here growing up in these single female headed households. They mad because other girls had their fathers and they didn't. And so remember I was telling you how you better watch that black female teacher. If your son or daughter, if you got a son and it's in that black female teacher's class, you better watch her. You better talk to your son every day. Is your teacher treating you right? She ain't going to just come out and say what a black woman would say to her son at home. He ain't going to say that because she'll get fired. So she'll treat your son like a third-class citizen and treat Sancho and Brad and Chad them and everybody else and Hung Lee. She'll treat all of them with respect, treat your son like doo-doo. Okay, let me find out where I stopped at. Let me read that again. The black female teacher at school, who also may be experiencing alienation from her black man, is not inclined to make the same statement in such a direct manner, only says it more subtly, says nothing, or simply acts out her hate, disgust, and distrust of black males, achieving the same result. But I tell y'all, I've been telling y'all since 2011 that you better watch these black female teachers and these black male homosexual teachers. I don't want my kids in no homosexuals class. I don't care what color they are. You dig? In childhood, male children learn, whether at home or at school, that they can make mothers and female teachers happy. And they will shower you with smiles and affection when they act like females rather than like boys. Y'all better listen to me. the dearth of adult black males in the homes, schools, and neighborhoods gave black male children no alternative model. Remember, I keep telling you that? When your baby mama plays keep away with your children, you're destroying the emotional fiber of your children, and you're going to have an adult baby the rest of your life hating you as a father. You ain't done nothing to them, tried to love them, but their mother's going to send them out there to get slaughtered out here in a white supremacist society. Blindly, they seek out one another as models, and in their blindness, end up in trouble. In juvenile homes or prisons. What did I tell y'all? But fate and dynamics of racism, again, play a vicious trick because the young males only become more alienated from their manhood and more feminized in such settings. They are given orders by men to whom they must submit. Now, let me stop right there. I'm going to read that sentence over because I only read half the sentence. And these, let me tell y'all something. If you, ladies, if you want to sit up here and play this game that you could be the mama and the daddy, go ahead and play that game. But remember, it's your children who lose, not you. Yeah, you're going to sit around with a wet vagina and a pissed off, a nasty disposition, hating all black men the way white supremacist females and males hate black men. You're only adding to the problem. And remember, this is why we have so many Ray Rays and Pookies out here. Because the only men who will show your son any attention is the Ray Rays and Pookies and Walmart Taviuses. They're going to look up to the thugs. They're going to look up to the D-boys. Next thing you know, at 13, 14 years old, you tell them, I can't handle Dante. He acting like his daddy. I'm like, lady, you only add to the prison rolls and the cemetery. Let me just read that sentence again. They are given orders by men to whom they must submit. We're talking about the correctional officers and the warden. They wait passively to be fed three hots in a cot by men. And finally, they have sexual intercourse with other men. It is no wonder that they are unable to play the role of black men when they leave. One ex-prisoner patient told me it's easier to endure the life on the inside than to try to put up with the pressures of being a man. Ooh, this is deep. A husband and a father in the streets. The intent of racist programming has been achieved. Give up trying to be a black man. Why not be a woman? Many black males have answered unconsciously, why not? Why not sell pussy? Why not part my butt cheeks? The braided and curled hair. She talking about the early 70s, them old players. My mom used to put my hair in a press and curl. And I looked like Superfly when I went to school. But that's what was happening. And them girls were like, ooh, your hair is cute, Iceman. As soon as my shit napped up, the girls went back to ignore my ass. I didn't give a damn in elementary anyway. You dig? The braided and curled hair, earrings, and bracelets. I don't see nothing wrong with that. But she wrote this book in the mid-70s, so, you know. The midriff tops, that ain't, we ain't never did that. The cinched, waisted pants, nope, we never did that, except for sweatpants. The flowered underwear, hell no. The high-heeled shoes, hell no. With platforms and pocketbooks, are all behavioral answers to the above. they say in loud and clear language, white man, I will never come after you. I cannot run in my high heels. You know that. I may mess up my hair. I'm going to stop right there. I had to read that, though. Go back to page 90. I got to make sure I'm on page. I was going to read more, but she gets even deeper than that. That's why I keep telling everybody, man, get that book. Get the ISIS papers, man. I wish I'd have bought that book 5-6 years ago. It's hard for me to put it down. It's that deep. And, you know, since she was a psychiatrist, you know, all that is up my alley. Keep pressing. What's up, baby? Thanks for the donation, brother. The truth. What's up going on, player? Vivo Latte. What's up, player? Can you dig it? And to a certain degree, it does tie into what we're talking about today. As you know, the murderer of George Floyd is on trial here in the Twin Cities. And they broadcast it every day. And they said they're getting about 50 million to 60 million viewers. That's a lot of people. And just like, you know, with OJ trial was 160 million around the world who were watching it. Okay? It is, the prosecution, they're doing a decent job, but I was saying this on the leader broadcast that I recorded after I left the athletic club. I was saying that the prosecution is calling too many witnesses to say the same thing. They had the chief of police up there. They had a lieutenant that was over homicide. That had to be, you know, anytime somebody died in police custody, homicide gets called, and they got to go out there and find out what happened. Okay? How, what, why, when, and how. Okay? And Derek Chauvin did not tell that homicide detective, that lieutenant, he did not tell him that how George Floyd was murdered. He just said he died. He just said the nigga broke. Like that. The nigga broke. Okay? You know, of course, with white folks, that's enough, because, you know, they don't value our lives anyway. I spent 5 hours at the VA yesterday, and, you know, they let you know every time you come in there, they don't give a damn about veterans, and they care even less about black veterans. I don't let them get away with that shit. You understand me? You ain't gonna get away with that with the Iceman. And, but then they call the sergeant that's right over Derek Chauvin. Now, this dude, he looked really scared. That dude was, he turned big red up there on the witness stand Monday, yesterday. This dude got up there and he retired. He hurried up and retired. He was head of the 3rd Precinct Patrol. He was the second shift watch sergeant. He hurried up and retired before he sued his ass. You dig? And he was shaking in his boots. He looked scared. I never seen no cop look like that. That's what we gonna get into tonight. We're gonna get into the backstory, because, you know, I could sit here all day and talk about, you know, the case. That's boring. What's really important is the backstory that they ain't telling you. Okay? This, anyone who believes that this case is about Derek Chauvin. You have missed. If you shooting a free throw, you didn't even hit the rim. This case has nothing to do with Derek Chauvin. You understand me? Yo, what up, Monstar? Okay. This has nothing to do with him. This case, you know who's on trial, really on trial in this case? White supremacy. And to a lesser degree, white supremacist, racist ass, race soldiers. Now, when you look at Derek Chauvin, with what he did and the four other killings he was involved in, looking at his calm demeanor while murdering George Floyd, didn't care that this man is a father, didn't care this man was a brother, they didn't care this man was a uncle, they didn't care that he was somebody's son, a whole lot of people's friend, he didn't care that he had a girlfriend that cared about him and loved him. He didn't care. And that's something that ought to get your attention. Because most white supremacists, they get emotional and angry when they try to physically attack us. This guy is cold as them peas and carrots in your freezer. That's how cold this dude is. He is what you call the classic race soldier. I guarantee this guy is a Nazi. He is the worst kind of white supremacist. And another reason why he's so calm, cool, and collected is because in his mind, the way all the law enforcement folks around the country in the state of Minnesota have been giving him time and taking care of him, you have to ask, how can he afford $1,000 an hour attorney? That's who's paying for it. A non-profit, some old police fund that these old no good race soldiers set up to pay for these racist ass cops to pay for their legal fees. Because he was fired because the union, the police union, is not going to take care of him. See, if something happened and it was 50-50, it could have been his fault. But there's no proof that it was his fault. But, the facts say that it was his fault, then in some ways, the union might take care of his legal fees. There are instances where they do take care of legal fees. But in this case, because of the egregious nature of this man's behavior, the union was like, we ain't taking care of you, fool. On your own. Okay? You know how much it costs for a murder trial to get you off, dog, with all the things that they have charged this guy with, it's televised. This guy, this police fund is going to end up spending $500,000 to $600,000 or more. If they call their own professional witnesses, talking $1 million. Where you get that money from? This old broke ass dude. Now he's got some other legal trouble, and we're gonna get into that tonight. Diggs. Let me read to you. This is how much info I got off the internet on this dude. I'm gonna go through this real fast. Okay? Two of the 18 complaints were closed with discipline, according to Internal Affairs at Minneapolis PD. According to Communities Against Police Brutality, I told you that's that nonprofit that fat white woman has over here to be putting them cops on blast up here. The Minnesota nonprofit that created a database complaints against officers in the state, Chauvin received oral reprimands for using a demeaning tone, derogatory language, and other language that merited discipline. Former officer Tu Tao, who was also involved in Floyd's murder, had 6 complaints filed with Internal Affairs, one of which was still open at the time of George Floyd's death. The other 5 were closed without discipline. 2 officers had no reprimands or discipline against them. See, a brother, one of these complaints was filed by a brother that had that little fuck rough him up. That little piece of shit fuck him, laid hands on him. He filed a complaint with Internal Affairs. Guys, let me tell you something. If any of these police officers, male or female, I don't care if they black, because you got a lot of coons, mammies, and sambos in these police departments that want to go along to get along. You better go to Internal Affairs and file a complaint against them. And also, if it's where they left a mark on you, or there's something like or something else the detaining of you. You got manhandled to the level where they left marks. You better go file a complaint with the district attorney. Okay. Now, let me read this real quick, and we'll go back to the live stream. Both Chauvin and Floyd worked at the El Nuevo Rodeo Club down the street from Minneapolis's 3rd precinct. Floyd worked some Tuesdays as extra security. Chauvin worked as an off-duty police officer for the club for nearly 17 years, says the owner. I wouldn't characterize them as knowing each other. If either they did or they didn't. You can't tell me that these guys didn't cross each other's paths. You can't tell me that. We all worked together certain nights, and they would have crossed paths. She couldn't believe what she was seeing when she watched footage of her 2 former employees, one under arrest and one face down on the pavement. I can't believe that Chauvin... I can't believe he didn't have the humanity to listen to this poor man begging for air and his life. Today, wait a minute here. Where is that part? This part I really wanted to read to you guys. But maybe it didn't, you know, my printer was tripping. Oh, check this out. I know what I wanted to say. This Mexican woman that owned that club, she has since sold it. She said that what Chauvin would do on the nights where there was a lot of black patrons in the club, she said that Chauvin would be extra physically aggressive with the black patrons. If there was a fight, he would just spray a whole crowd of black folks in the area where the fight was with pepper spray. And then, like a little bitch, he would call for backup from MPD. Now, this woman, she's trying to act like she's so goddamn innocent. Okay? She said, now I just read to you that Tobin worked for the club for 17 years. She's talking about that this guy's being physical with black patrons. You know what she's not saying? She's a old racist-ass Mexican, and she don't give a damn about them black patrons. Otherwise, she wouldn't have that monster working for her for 17 years. And she's sitting up here talking about, I didn't know that he was like that. See, what did I tell y'all about these Hispanics? See, they think they're white. They want Anglo status, and they'll never get it. Which is another reason why they're mad at black folks. Because they know that Caucasians use them as a political football against us. But the benefits only go so far. Now, she was that concerned about Chauvin's ass, you would have fired him. But she let him sit there continuing to get paid. I ain't trying to hear this bullshit this woman is talking. Look, these Hispanics, these so-called Hispanic Caucasians, they're not white. They think they are. They'll never get Anglo status. They'll never get WASP. Stats. If you don't know what WASP means, the acronym WASP, I ain't explaining that to you. Go look it up on the damn internet. Diggs. This woman is trying to act like she ain't a white supremacist. You ain't got to say it in plain English. I can read this and look at, read between the lines. Now his wife, notice a pattern here. Mr. Spencer, Mr. Alt-Right. Look at Derek Taylor, Mr. Intellectual White Supremacist. Look at all these white supremacists that you see that's in the media. They always go and get Asian women. Was married to a Hmong woman. I saw her on Yahoo Personals years ago. But when I saw her picture online, I said, I've seen that old raggedy-ass broad wearing the same dress and cheese in the same way she was in that picture. Now, she, a day after she murdered George Floyd, she filed for divorce. You mean to tell me, I forgot how long she was married to this guy. You mean to tell me, lady, you didn't know you were married to a white supremacist? His ex-wife claims that she didn't see any of these tendencies. She's talking about he's always been a gentleman to her. He said he never talked out of turn to her. He ain't never put his hands on her. He said they had a good marriage, but she couldn't take. See, let me tell you something. The only reason why this heifer filed for divorce is because of the publicity of this case. Had this only been a Twin Cities thing, she'd still be married to him, possibly. Okay? Had no children. And God, this guy never reproduced. This is going to trip you out. That they own a townhouse in Windmere, Florida, Orange County. Okay? Orange County Sheriff said that he did not go down to Florida when he was bailed out of jail. Remember, his bail was $1.25 million. And all the race soldiers got their money together and bailed him out. Don't let that get past you, brothers and sisters. Derek Chauvin was held in a Minnesota's Park Heights maximum security prison, the highest custody level in Minnesota correctional system. He was held there to ensure his safety and concern. And so he would be away from, you know, instead of putting him in, the first they put him in Ramsey County Jail. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Oh, this is a different article. That's what it is. Oh, shit. I mixed them together. That's why this ain't making sense. I was like, wait a minute here. This is two different articles that I got this stuff from. People, you know what this dude did? You know what they did? They put him in Ramsey County Jail. And they took him up to the fifth floor. They did all the black correctional officers that worked on that floor, they removed every last one of them. White supremacy grain. You know damn good and well if a black officer did that to a white officer, first of all, he would have been arrested that same day, not the next day. That's the first thing. The second thing is they would not have removed the white correctional officers. So what those black correctional officers did, they filed a complaint about that. Then, while Tobin was in custody over there at Ramsey County Jail, a lieutenant from the MPD visited him, talked to him, and let him use her cell phone. They said that this case, they said that is under investigation. You know damn good and well that ain't going nowhere. Because had that been a black officer that did that, the black female lieutenant that went over there to visit the black officer that murdered the white George Floyd, she would be fired right now. They wouldn't even wait for an investigation. You know how they take care of white supremacy? They take care of their race soldiers? You sitting up here thinking that this is just about race, this is just about a white guy got up that morning of May 25th, 2020, and he just had a bad day. And he decided he was going to murder George Floyd. You think some of y'all are that silly? You see, this is why black folks, this is why you got to study. This is why you got to study. Don't talk about it, be about it. A lot of black men love to run their mouth and not put no work in. And then when you get caught up in the system, here you go trying to get somebody to bail you out, literally. You want somebody to pay your bills because you ain't man enough to take care of your fam or yourself. We're going to have church tonight. One guy caused $1 billion in property damage in this city, across mainly Minneapolis, but some parts of St. Paul too, to a lesser degree, mainly Minneapolis. And they only charged one guy with the arson, the burning down of the third precinct, which is where old dude worked out of. Guess what? Guess what color he is? Black. He charged one brother. All them Native American, $5 Indians, all them Caucasians, all those different people ran up that building and they charged one person, a black man. You see, boy, we ain't got deep enough tonight. We ain't got deep enough. Now, remember George Floyd? See, I didn't know this until the trial. I knew that other dude with the dreads was in the car with him. But what I didn't know is that there was some crackhead chick in the back seat. I didn't know that. They only showed, see, you hear how the media and the police work in tandem. They didn't release a body cam video of any of the officers until they got in court. See how they play them games? And then they showed old girl. Now, this little sorry ass nigga that was in the car with him, Maurice Lester, this nigga pled the fifth. You know why? Because the footage that they showed the first day of the trial last week, it shows George Floyd walking into Cup Foods. He's digging in his pocket for some money. Now, granted, they trying to make like it's a big deal that he was high. Come on, man. How many Caucasians do you see out here whipping around in traffic, driving around drunk and high and drunk? You know they own something. But see, they don't pull white folks over unless they do something so egregious, especially to another Caucasoid. That's the only time they go after they own. This little sorry Negro that was in the car with him, he's got about three cases pending against him. A felon in possession of a firearm, possession of drugs by a felon, and some other case. Now, they show, a few minutes later, they show this Maurice Lester, the dude with the red hat that was in the car with him, his Houston homeboy, H-Town homeboy, he comes in and hands George Floyd some money like this. And right after that, that's when George Floyd purchased the cigarettes that got him killed. A $20 counterfeit bill. And they said, based on George Floyd's reaction, he did not know that was a counterfeit bill. See how his boy did him? Now he going to plead the fifth? His little sorry ass, he going to go to prison anyway. He going back to prison anyway. He went lawyered up and then pleaded the fifth. Okay? He said, just like a black homeboy of yours. Maurice Lester Hall. His last name is Hall, excuse me. Oh, felony domestic assault, which means he beat up some woman and left her with a black eye, busted nose, or a busted lip. If guys, they will charge you with felony domestic violence if you leave a mark. Or a bruise, or more than one bruise. See how they play? I got the other two charges right. Felony in possession of a firearm, felony drug possession with his little sorry ass. You know what he did? He gave the Minneapolis police a fake name. And he bounced and went back to Houston, and Houston PD picked his ass up. He Ain't that just like a homeboy of yours? Ain't that just like a homie? Ain't that just like family? I can attest to that. Okay, let's get into some of these other deaths that Coven was involved in. Some of them, I couldn't get the information on the other three, but they listed one. It says Coven fired his gun at a man named Wayne Reyes, October of 2006. Minneapolis police responded. Now this is some old Mexican responded. After Mr. Reyes stabbed his girlfriend and a male friend, he drove off just like a Mexican, ain't he? In his car and run. Probably ain't even got insurance or a driver's license. He drove off, started a police pursuit. When police stopped him, they claimed he aimed a shotgun toward them. Now, I could care less about this dude. I could care less. Six Minneapolis Police Department, Dante Dean, Brian Grom, John Kelly, Oscar Macias, Harry Nutter, and Derek Chauvin fired on him and killed him. Now, I have no feelings about this. Not my people. According to the Star Tribune, he was involved in two other police-involved shootings as well. The other two involved Leroy Martinez and Ira Latrell Tolles. Now this guy, I remember this case. I remember because one of the cops had his camera on him, and the guy, when he sees MPD, he drops his gun and starts hauling ass down the alley. Okay, MPD gives chase with they fat asses, and they shot that brother in the back. The threat ended. When he dropped the gun, that was it. There's a case, and I talked about this case about 8 or 9 years ago. There's a case out of Nashville or Memphis, Tennessee, about this brother who ran from the police. He didn't have any weapons. He hopped over the fence, and old white ass cop shot him and killed him. Okay, got to do us. No, that's not this guy. No, that's not this guy. This guy, okay, they said this Tolles guy, that he shot Tolles during a domestic assault call. Dispatchers had heard a woman telling somebody to stop hitting her in a 911 call. The article states that Chauvin and another officer forced their way into the apartment and Tolles ran from them. They caught and tried to subdue that. No, this is the same dude. They tried to subdue him, but in a struggle, he grabbed one of their guns and Chauvin shot him in the torso. You notice that there's always this same theme that the brother tried to grab their gun and they shot him. Notice that. He's game, y'all. There's more. Guess what? Derek Chauvin received commendation medals for those shootings. Ain't lovely to be a white supremacist police officer? That Martinez was Alaskan Native American, $5 Indian. A series of complaints were filed against Chauvin over the years, but didn't result in discipline. Sir is being represented by an attorney, Eric Nelson, who previously handled a high-profile police shooting case. Okay. till they tried to get information from the police review board, and they won't release his personnel record. But his personnel record will be entered into evidence during this case because it's pertinent to this case, the Floyd murder. Okay, Eric Nelson, Derek Chauvin's attorney is the same attorney who represented that little piece of shit, Geronimo Yanez, who murdered Philando Castile during a traffic stop on Facebook Live. Yanez was charged but not found not guilty by a jury. Check this out. Y'all know that Yanez got 350,000 dollars in back pay after he was fired by St. Michael Police Department. Did y'all know that? They had to break bread. See how they do? Now this you're gonna trip off of. See, this I had to dig for. Tobin and his wife were separately charged in July of 2020. Washington County, Minnesota. Washington County, like once you get past St. Paul and Ramsey County, the last county before you hit Wisconsin is Washington County. Tobin and his wife were separately charged July of 2020 in Washington County, Minnesota with multiple felony counts of tax evasion related to alleged fraudulent state income tax returns from 2014 to 2019. Prosecutors state that the couple underreported their joint income by a total of $464,433, including more than $95,000 from Tobin's off-duty security work, by paying him his hourly rate he gets paid as a police officer. The complaint also alleges failure to pay proper sales tax on a $100,000 BMW purchased in Minnesota in 2018, failure to declare income from Chauvin's wife's real estate business. He's also a licensed real estate broker, real estate agent. Did y'all know that? Imagine being shown a home by that motherfucker. And improperly accounting for deductions on a rental home. It might be the end of it. He got charged with a criminal complaint for state tax evasion. See how foul this dude is, and his ex-wife up here trying to act like she innocent, and they ain't even. They up here trying to cheat the government, state government on taxes. Because if they cheated the state government, they also cheated the IRS. I'm surprised they ain't popped their head up out of the mole hole. Usually when it's like playing whack-a-mole. As soon as one problem pop up, here come five other ones. We're gonna go to the phone. Hey, look here, guys. I need you guys to call the. You need to call in. I'm paying for Blog Talk Radio. Let's get it started. Like Hammer. The guest calling number is 516-453-9482. Guest calling number for Blog Talk Radio is 516-453-9482. I give you a couple of minutes. If folks don't start calling, it's going to be hell to pay. We're going to go to the phones. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to hear your life manifesto. And keep to the topic at hand. On the air with the Ice Man. Who am I speaking with?
Yo, well, Ice, this is Stamp Itis. I'm going to make it real quick, like you said. I want your take on this trial and how they're trying to speed up the Supreme Court case with the Mohamed Nuur case to set precedent in this trial. What's your take on that?
Is it in state court or at the federal level?
I believe it's in the federal level. It's state, and it made it all the way to the Minnesota Supreme Court. And I'm pretty sure you know who Mohamed Nuur is, right?
Right. Well, here's the difference between those two cases and why they're not related. They're not even interrelated. In the Mohamed Nuur case, he accidentally shot this woman. The only thing that's related is that he was fired for cause because they felt that even though he startled them running down a dark alley, and he violated a policy because he shot over his partner, which is something you don't never do as a police officer. You don't never do that. He shot past him, and because this is a white woman, Howard Freeman, the Hennepin County District Attorney, promptly filed charges against Mohamed Nuur. He was also promptly fired. Now, the reason why these two cases are different is because it comes to the reasons I just gave you, but also because there's no footage. This whole thing with George Floyd issue, you got to understand this goes back to the election with Trump and Biden. You're middle of the road white supremacists. They do not like their white supremacy out there on display. Now, they don't care if they murder you, but they don't like it in their face like that. I get nasty looks all around the Twin Cities area. By the way, brother, thank you for your call. Appreciate it, man. Difference in see, this whole thing with it being filmed and seeing this man suffer for 9 minutes, and the fact that Derek Chauvin kept his knee on this man's neck, asphyxiating him, he was already dead when the Hennepin County paramedics got there. Now, the first or second day, they had the paramedics up there. They had them testify. And the second, I didn't see the first guy testify. The second guy, I caught his testimony. And you could tell he was like, man, I ain't trying to be up in here. You could tell based on his the fact that he was deep red, he looked pissed. He also looked hurt. Because he said, I got into this line of work because I want to help people. He said, the fact that when I tried to feel his carotid artery to see if there was a pulse, Derek Chauvin still had his knee on his damn neck. He wouldn't even move. Other two guys got up. Thomas Lane and Alexander King, the half-brother. It was his intent to murder George Floyd. Can you dig it? Let me say something to y'all. If you notice around before George Floyd became unresponsive, did you notice the liquid I was coming from underneath the police cruiser. Y'all notice that? It took me a couple of times to see it, to notice it. Explain something to me. When somebody dies or is dying, the brain, especially if you cut off the air to the brain stops communicating with all your organs. And whatever's in the whatever's in the chamber in your colon is gonna come out your ass. And if you got urine in your bladder, you're gonna pee on yourself. Now, and you could tell they were not paying attention to any of that. And on top of that, all of them lied on their police reports. Because that lieutenant said when he showed up, and I forgot, I can't remember what he said Tobin told him. He said, I didn't find out the total scope of what happened to George Floyd until later on that night. He said, I was at home and I got the call. They showed still shots of him talking to all the officers. And they asked him, well, what do you do whenever there's a death in police custody? He said, I have to talk to all the officers on the scene. He said, none of them told me what I had to find out later on that night. They had the emergency room doctor that was the first one on site to work on George Floyd. He said he was asystolic, which means there's no electricity going through your heart. This is why when they defibrillate you, it shocks your heart to start pumping again. They put all them voltages of electricity into your heart. When somebody has a heart attack, the first thing they said is, oh, he's on drugs. The doctor said he knew right away, just examining Mr. Floyd, that this wasn't an OD. He said, first of all, he had these deep bruises on his face where his face was on the pavement. And there was no pulse and no arrhythmia in the heart. There was no current going through the heart. Remember, when somebody has a heart attack, that means there's half the heart, one of the ventricles are not pumping. It fails or something like that. Half of the heart fails, or they have a blockage in their aorta. Remember that. When somebody goes into cardiac arrest, that's an electrical issue in your heart. Heart attack is blockage. Part of the heart ain't working, or the whole heart ain't working after the heart attack. And in cardiac arrest, it's an electrical issue. There's no current going through your heart. That's why when you touch somebody, you shock them. Or you touch some type of surface and you get a shock. That's that electricity flowing through your body. You need that to be alive. Otherwise, you belong on the walking dead. Let me read some more antics by Derek Chauvin. Now, one thing I noticed about this Judge Cahill, some of the info on Chauvin's personnel file was deemed inadmissible by Judge Cahill. That's not cool. That's not cool, people. How is his personnel file not pertinent to this case? How is it not related to this case? This man been laying hands on people for 19 years, and you're going to sit up here and tell me that his personnel, most egregious stuff in his personnel file is inadmissible? setting this dude up to get acquitted or get a hung jury. I'm telling you what, the way they set that jury up with them Africans and them half-breed black women, so-called black women that they chose. One of the black women had a white uncle who was a cop. You think she gonna do the right thing? Now check this out. This is inadmissible. Chauvin choked a 14-year-old black boy unconscious. 14. They filed a complaint against him with internal affairs. They do shit about it. Should have got charged with assault under the color of authority. I'm gonna go back to the phone. On the air with the Ice Man, who am I speaking with?
That is Vivo Lotte out of Houston.
What's up, baby? What's on your mind?
Man, chilling, man. I got a question, but I want to preface it with a statement. What they need to do is not have a trial and let his ass loose down here in the third ward. We got an alligator pit with his name written on it. Now, he can't come past the southern border. He can't do nothing. Now, my question is, it looks like what you said. It looks like they setting this up for him to get off.
Exactly.
Now, if he gets off, what would you think the ramifications will be afterwards? As far as what you say, you think they're gonna try to put it down again, or you think this man gonna be able to walk around as a free man, or he gonna be put in protective custody or something?
Nah, he gonna move out.
He needs to be touched.
He gonna move out the state. He gonna move out the state. Now, from what I heard on the streets, he was staying at one of these no good race soldiers' house. He couldn't go back home. You know, he couldn't go back home. And so they was gonna touch him at the crib. That's why they put his ass in custody. They hurried up and put him in jail. And then moved him from Ramsey County Jail to that state prison, that supermax. You see what they did? All right, brother, appreciate you calling in, man. Guys, look. They're setting this man up for a hung jury. Okay? And the reason why I say that is because the prosecution picked some questionable people, that jury. Now, there's a black woman who's a lawyer on a black news channel. She's covering the case here in the Twin Cities. She said, based on her legal opinion, almost all of them jurors can go either way. Does that sound, guys? These prosecutors, I think one of them is, I think the brother is a private attorney, and they hired him, I think. But the other ones are assistant attorney general, which means they are right under the brother, or the black guy who's the attorney general, Keith Ellison. They're right under him, which means they probably got 20 years or more experience as a state prosecutor. You mean to tell me that they're comfortable with that jury? A jury that could go either way? Go back and look at footage of that OJ trial. The late great Johnny Cochran got every last one of them crackers off that jury. And the only Caucasians that he kept on that jury were Caucasians that didn't have any love for the po-po. That's what happens when you get a real attorney. Remember, the state of Florida purposely bungled that case with George Zimmerman and let his ass off. Remember, it's the jury that found him not guilty, not the prosecution. So it's their people, some of those people, they picked. You don't have to have a degree in criminal justice like I do or be an attorney to know that the fix is in. Are they, does it look like they're trying to make an effort to win this case? Depends on, it, to me, yes. Yes and no. The reason why I say no is because they picked them Africans. There's at least two Africans on that jury. If you've been to the Twin Cities and you've been around these cheese-eating Africans, you know what the hell I'm talking about. If you think your uncle or your cousin is a buck-dancing coon, come up here and meet some of these Africans. Oh, they turn their noses up at other black folks. If you see them around white folks, they're just like cheesing and grinning. You see all 15 of their teeth. You mean to tell me that them two guys count as black men? Hell no. Now, at least one of the black, now I think there's three black men on the jury. There's one American black guy. He's some college educated dude. He's probably a coon. These niggas up here are so scared of white folks, man. That's why these white folks be trying you up here. Like, look, man, I'll give you an example. I go to the athletic club to work out. I got my earphones on. I'm bumping to the music. I'm like, yeah. Okay, got some KC and the Sunshine Band on. Listening. And I see these white dudes stink eyeing me. Why? Because these black men up here, they such butt lickers, man, to see these fake-ass niggas up here. And these niggas be cow-towing up here. They act like good little slaves. They'll be over there working out just as quiet. I ain't causing no trouble, Mr. White folks. That's why when these niggas see me, They turn their back to me. You know why? They even stop talking. You know why? Because they know I ain't like them. I'm not a coon. I don't care what these crackers think of me. I call them cracker to their face. Go call the po-po. I done had them. Well, I'll call the police on you. Call them, motherfucker! Right here. Walk off. Because I called they bluff. Ain't one of these Minnesota niggas. I ain't saying I'm out here, you know, walking around like Debo talking about, you know, beat him down, beat you down. I ain't Debo. I ain't trying to act like I'm Debo. But I ain't taking no shit either. But these Negroes, man, they always, you see them opening the door for white folks at the store. I be looking at, look at this nigga. Folks come behind me, I let the door slam right in their face. You know why? Because that's the shit they do to me. You would be surprised how many white folks I had almost laid hands on letting that door slam in my fucking face. Damn near hit me in the face. And when you say something to them, they always play dumb. You know, white folks, white supremacists always play dumb about white supremacy, and you dumb niggas play dumb right along with them. We're going to go back to the phones. Remember, guys, keep it brief. Oh. on the air with the Iceman. Who am I speaking with? On the air. On one.
I'm sorry, I'm muted. Thank you for taking my call, sir. I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that I think you're going to consider me the ultimate in Afrikaans, but I would like to get my statements out.
Let me get this nigga off here. Yep, took care of that. Like I told y'all, I ain't got no patience. I ain't got no patience for clowns. I ain't got no patience for immature black men and women. I don't have no patience for white supremacists. You dig? We ain't got time. Hey guys, let's get these donations popping. What's up? Hey guys. Get these donations popping. All right. So you get guys, get these donations up and get the likes up. We're going to go ahead and take an intermission. All right. Go ahead, shut down Blog Talk Radio. Let me say something to you.